Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, Harper.
Hello.
Recently, I was browsing my Twitter.com.
What's that?
It's a bad platform.
True.
And I noticed a post from the Wraith Lloyd Twitter account, at Lloyd Wraith on Twitter.com.
I've heard those dudes are great.
Yeah, oh, incredible content. And they posted something that I just need to ask you about.
Yeah.
That says, the Nyan Neko Sugar Girls fandom is dying. Repost if you are a true Nyan Neko Sugar Girls fan. Now, this leads me to a question. You've put my name to this. You've established me as supporting the Nyan Neko Sugar Girls, where I have no real concept what the Nyan Neko Sugar Girls are. So I was really hoping that you could explain to me your choices, your decisions, and what the Nyan Neko Sugar Girls are.
So, where would you like me to start? My decision to post that, or what Nyan Neko
the Sugar fuck are they?
Okay, let's start with what is a Nyan Neko Sugar Girl?
Well, it's one of life's great mysteries, truly.
I'll have you know that Nyan Neko Sugar Girl is it's a fan-made anime, or fanime, as it's colloquial term. Mm-hmm. Termed a series on YouTube. It was uploaded by Soap Opera 46 in April 2010, making it almost 10 years old.
Ooh.
Coming around to its very important
decade birthday.
In that time, it garnered about 1.5 million views.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. And here's why, because it is infamous for its poor art style.
Yes.
Limited animation, yes. And that's me being generous, and just painful voice acting.
You're telling me something that has this animation didn't get nominated for an Oscar?
I am.
Oh.
Her hair moves in two frames.
Animation
Amazing.
Does require movement.
It does. It does require movement. And the series focuses on the delightful cat girl Raku-chan.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, Chan seems to be a part of her full name, which is concerning, who develops a crush on Hitoshi-san, a regular boy without cat ears.
Okay.
But does have blue hair.
Oh, an interspecies romance, I appreciate. the boldness to go for that.
I'm the one meant to be bringing the cursed stuff.
never count me out. Don't put baby in the corner.
So you may be asking now, having some idea of what this is, why it still remains relevant in our zeitgeist.
I'm often asking why to a lot of things you do, Harper.
As you should. Question everything. Well, here's the thing. Nyan Neko Sugar Girls is a breakdown of the late 2000s, early 2010s anime culture.
Is it a critique?
Definitely.
Ooh.
It is a critique, and I'm going to tell you why.
You're suggesting a self-awareness to the media.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Okay.
It is a parody. Without a doubt. Not on anime, but on the... Well, not only on anime. It's also a parody on anime. But on the Western community who are fans of anime.
Interesting.
It has blatant incorrect use of Japanese terms, yes. Such as sugoi, kawaii,
yep.
And pocky.
Yep. How do you use pocky incorrectly?
As a breakfast food.
That is incorrect.
And these sorts of uses of that language is commonly attributed to people who consider them fans of Japanese culture, but only know about the culture through anime and various popular media outlets.
Now, this sounds all very sugoi right now. But
I'm gonna kill you.
Could you explain why my name's been put to this? Why we're supporting the Neko Sugar Girls?
Because it is a piece of art.
So Nyan Neko Sugar Girls.
Exactly. Because it is a piece of art, and I'm trying to tell you why it's a piece of art.
Okay, okay, sorry, yes. So it is a critique. We understand
it. It is
this.
A critique of weeaboo culture.
Yes.
It is a critique of weeaboo culture. And by being on a very relevant platform to what young anime fans, without the knowledge of where to stream anime would go, is probably very easily accessible for them. So it might be one of their earlier introductions to anime.
Oh, that's a good one.
And see, I think the important part about this show is by seeing these anime tropes exaggerated to such degrees allows the viewer to hold the Clown House reflection up to the studio quality of other animation studios.
I just want you all to know Harper is currently reading off their phone. They have brought an essay.
And see the startling similarities. Or even, perhaps, to turn the mirror on themselves, to see a version of themselves within it that they may not like. Nyanyako Sugar Girls is a critique of the late 2000s weeaboo culture, as well as a critique of the anime makers that pander to these, let's say, less than favorable themes, such as a boy getting kidnapped, and then poor jokes about his sexuality.
Hey! Yay. The old, that old chestnut.
It was made in 2010.
Yes.
But we laugh at Nyan Neko Sugar Girls because if we didn't, we would cry at our own distorted visages.
That's a fucking thesis statement right there.
Contribute to my Patreon if you want to see more lovely essays like that.
I would. I am here for this. Holy
I don't have a Patreon.
Thing is, Harper told me that they'd made an essay on the Nyan Neko Sugar Girls, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is just like, you know, a few. No, you fucking, that's a thesis.
I go hot, and of course I have a thesis statement for this, because I found this show when I was first getting into anime.
It's close to your heart.
It's close and dear to my heart, and I bet a million other people do, because when you're like 13 or something, you don't know how Crunchyroll works, yep. And you don't want to sit through all the ads. You're more familiar with YouTube. You go exactly. To YouTube, you see, Nyanyaka Sugar Girls, what's this? It's 12 o'clock at night. I'm going to click on it.
Boom. Yep. Yeah, it's incredible.
The titties are flying now, in the wind.
As I'm sure you've all realized, this is a Vocaloid review and ranking podcast.
We do rate and review the voice banks of the so-called Vocaloids that are put together with their adorable mascots.
Thank you for that explanation.
I just feel that we don't tell people what Vocaloids are enough.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really fair point.
Yeah.
The vocal sense.
Ah, the
vocal sense.
Yes.
I am, of course, Jonathan, your dear host. Everyone loves me. I'm incredible. And I'm joined, as always, by Harper, the number one Nyan Neko Sugar Girl stan.
I wouldn't say I stan the show, but I do recognize its cultural relevance.
Okay, I'm glad. At least we can make that distinction.
Exactly.
And we are here this week to review Neko Haru Iroha. Sorry, Nekomura Iroha.
Another infamous cat girl. Mm. Actually, she's not well known, and I'm about to tell you why.
A cat girl of infamous renown is, I think, a fantastic goal in life.
The walking, talking Hello Kitty advertisement.
The cyberpunk revolution will be led by an infamous cat girl. Mark my words.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It will be a communist cat girl.
Yeah,
and you know it.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I know this is happening.
I know where the revolution starts and ends.
Exactly. Before we get into Nekomura Iroha.
Yes.
Let's do a catch up for the week.
Absolutely.
You been watching anything? We watched Hunter x Hunter together.
We did watch Hunter x Hunter together.
That's a good show.
It still remains good. We go through it very slowly. We're taking our time with it. It's like
it's
a long
so
stroll.
It's so fucking good.
It's still very good.
I've been watching some Victory Gundam.
Ooh.
That show is good. And also, there is, like, just bringing the misogyny of Gundam to the forefront.
Oof.
Yeah, like, it's one of those ones where it's like, it handles the horrors of war really well.
Yeah.
And also, it has a team of women-only fighters called the Shrike Team who wear lipstick-based war paint, and when one of them dies, they apply lipstick to them in a ritual at their funeral, and also is led by a guy called Oliver who always makes comments about their appearance.
I hate that.
I also know for a fact later on in Victory Gundam, there is a giant satellite space laser shaped like a dick and balls, so I'm very excited for that moment.
Of course.
Also, Victory Gundam likes its motorbikes, which is my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, those medieval...
Yeah, the medieval. Sorry, let me get the fucking quote from Duke Eek, which is a name that a character has.
I'm so glad.
Duke Eek is the man who rides around in a giant motorbike tank, who has put forward the plans for a giant motorbike battleship.
Ah.
It's like a warship, but with wheels.
See, I don't understand why they're not getting the guy who's supposedly designed this Dick and Balls satellite to design more ships.
this is my Dick and Balls robot?
This is my Dick Balls robot.
Dick Balls. Here we go. By reviving the bikes of the Middle Ages and reviving the tradition of driving, I've now become unstoppable. Which is just fucking fantastic.
We have done this already on the podcast.
I have done this already on the podcast, haven't I?
But it is just such a good bit that you do have to bring it around
again.
Go
onto my Twitter. I put up another picture of him with the giant motorbike battleship going, this thing will raise fear in the hearts of our enemies. Yes. I'm like, yeah, sure, dude, I guess.
It's excellent. It is excellent.
Other than that, I've been playing an MMO, been playing Total War Three Kingdoms. The ush.
You're a nerd.
Learning accordion.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's good fun. Check out my Twitter as well for some accordion playing.
Oh.
And I guess we should get into our Vocaloid for the week. So, some background for you all. It's a Hello Kitty Vocaloid. Get in there, folks. This shit kind of rules.
I am conflicted.
Yep.
Because it is so obviously a blatant, you know, and we'll get into it more with her personality, a blatant yep. advertisement for Kitty and how you must stan the brand.
Yes. And this is coming from the number one Hello Kitty, Stan Harper.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I was awakened. When did you awaken to when I read that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was awakened to the atrocities.
Okay, so some other background. Was designed by a former erotica artist, and it does kind of show. But
wait,
also, they also helped design characters for No More Heroes and some Gainax animes.
Oh, No More Heroes, that makes sense, yeah.
And Gainax, as in Evangelion, Gunbusters,
that makes sense as well. That makes sense as well.
So, like, the thing is, good artist.
Good artist.
There is a kind of horny form.
You can see it in the comically small body parts and the overgrown head.
And you can see it in the soft versions, Tig old bitties.
Oh, yeah.
The rest is fine.
The rest are fine. Like, I won't lie. Her design's cute.
Yeah, and she has, like, a variety of costumes, which I really appreciate.
Me too. Well, of course she does. That's, like, her whole deal.
Yeah.
She is basically a Hello Kitty idol.
Yeah.
She does have the cool speaker suit.
Yes. Before we get into that real quick.
Yes.
I also want to say there is an official backstory, and as much as it is a corporate show backstory, this gives me life because they're actually doing something.
Shit, that's true. That's true. You are putting a positive spin onto something that did suck the soul out of me, so thank you for that.
It's not written well.
No.
But, like, they're taking effort, they're putting into it, and it does have a kind of sweet moment of a mom helping her daughter.
That is
which
sweet.
Is very sweet.
That is very sweet.
So I appreciate that a lot. Into the look. She has speakers for hands and a bunch of potential outfits.
Yes, in her version 2, I believe.
Yes, in V2 Vocaloid 2, form.
In her V2 film, I do have to talk about her speakers for hands things
the
first.
The hand cannons, yes.
Because it's also got this really nice combination of, like if you look at the top part, it looks like a cute little kimono.
It does, but then it becomes like a bodysuit.
Yeah, which looks dope.
It fucking looks like the plug suits from Evangelion.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay, but the thing about Evangelion is has good suit designs, has good mech designs.
It absolutely does.
And it shows through excellently in this Hello Kitty mech.
I still like the designs. I like the little faces on the diamonds on her leggings.
Yes, they're like, so cute.
She has a bunch of really good outfits, the thing.
Exactly.
Like, her look is good.
It's really cute.
I had more than... her backstory comes with even more outfits, which is good. The thing that stands out about her is she has effort put into her design, into her backstory, into most aspects of her.
That is true, actually. She does have a lot of effort put into this. I haven't seen this much of it since Kyoteru.
Yeah.
The rock star teacher.
Yeah. But even then, like, the one who I can think of as the most effort and, like, consistently good design is Hatsune Miku.
Fuck, you're right.
Like, Gumi is great, but Gumi doesn't have this consistency in her designs.
No, she does not. She does have excellent designs, and she is beautiful. But... she does not have this variety. Also, I do like the motif of like the little rainbow-colored pin flower.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
And I'm going to be honest, as much as it is a corporate show, Hello Kitty's cute.
Hello Kitty is 100% cute.
And I like the Hello Kitty accents to her outfits. They do it in really creative ways.
They do actually. Like, it's so easy to get garish with this sort of like look, but... they didn't.
The umbrella's great. In the Kitty Lair version, I love her ridiculous ponytail.
Yes, I know, right?
Like, the upper belt in the bodysuit version and the helmet is pretty great, I'm gonna be honest.
Her ponytail's kind of like a tail in a way.
Yeah.
It's just really cute.
She has fantastic design, it's the thing, folks.
Yeah.
Guess what? You hire a very good character designer, you're going to get good character designs.
100%. 100%.
This is a character that, like, I think stands out the most for look-wise out of most of the ones we've seen.
Definitely. And I think because they had not only a good character designer, but a direction to take this. Like, it had to be Hello Kitty themed and centered. Mm. And, like, it shows. Like, there's a direction with this design. They know what they wanted with it. Yeah. Like, even with Gumi, you're like... It has got so much direction. Yeah, yeah.
She is the most well-defined character of, and like, of just everything about it is so well-defined.
Exactly.
Which I guess, like, I'm positive on look.
No, same.
Yeah.
I do love the look a lot.
Which leads to personality. Her personality, she fucking loves Hello Kitty.
She does love Hello Kitty. Should we get into the nitty-gritty of the backstory now?
Yeah, please. Do you want to take over?
Yeah. So basically the backstory for her is her going to be inducted as a platinum kitty.
Hello Kitty idol.
Like a kitty idol. I think basically it's not really explained what a Hello Kitty fan is. Yeah.
Platinum Kitty is the term they
use. Platinum Kitty.
But, like, it describes as, like, this big competition where everyone's, like, trying to be look the best to be chosen.
I assume it's, like, modeling for the company or
it
something.
It gives me idol vibes, yeah.
It's definitely high idol vibes. And, you know, it's all about her, like, you know, being unsure, feeling self-conscious. You know, she doesn't feel like she's quite matching up to the standards of all the other girls there at the rehearsal. Yeah. And then, like, her mom gives her this special bag to open when she really needs it. And this... She couldn't open the bag before, but now she magically can.
Yeah.
And she finds all her mom's old pins.
And they're all Hello Kitty, like, accessories.
All Hello Kitty accessories. And she puts them on and she starts to feel more confident and happy. And it's really sweet. Yeah. I guess what really got me, though, with it right at the end is just sort of like, haha, this family's commitment to the brand is what gets them into the good places.
I actually missed that part of it.
Go to the end. That left a bit of a sour note in my mouth.
So I would like to say it is called How Nekomura Iroha Became a Platinum Kitty.
Yeah. And like, yeah, a good, cute family, daughter, mother vibes there, really sweet, but does get overshadowed by the corporate brand. Chill.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
From mother to daughter, dreams and hopes break the barrier of time. Respect and affection for the brand.
Yeah.
The concept she created is what Hello Kitty wants to show. And I think that ruins the backstory,
It ruins it. Because, like, it's not about Hello Kitty, it's about this mother and daughter.
Yeah. Exactly. It's the classic tale of, like, one of those trailers that appropriates a happy story to be like, and then I got a Jeep, you know?
Yes. Oh, God, I hate that so much.
Like,
it's exactly that.
I'm torn because I fucking hate brand shilling like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Says us who works on a Vocaloid podcast.
We are basically shilling for a brand.
But on the other hand, they've put effort in.
They've
made that backstory. And so, like, I have to respect it for that.
I do have to respect
it. And I respect most of the backstory.
But it fills me with anger.
It fills you with rage.
I am easily angered.
You're so valid.
So, yeah. That's... So, I'm going to put myself down as mixed on her personality.
You're mixed?
Just because of that backstory.
I actually think her character, as much as it's such a shill character, her obsession with Hello Kitty really works well.
Oh, totally.
Because it's the typical, like, Fire Emblem style and gacha character style template, which is you give them a personality trait, that's their personality trait, and you understand them and you feel connected to them because of their personality trait.
Exactly. It has, she has something that I'm sure a lot of Vocaloid listeners and fans can to relate to is an obsession.
Yeah. And not only that, but it makes her stand out.
Exactly.
Because, like, as much as I love, like, who's a good one? Like, I like Mako, right?
Oh, totally.
I can't tell you nothing about Mako's personality because there's nothing there.
But
Kaito, yeah. Same with even Gumi. Like, Gumi's not a personality.
No.
How many of the past Vocaloids that have we done that are like, oh, they're happy and bubbly?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Exactly.
Whereas this one's given her a thing, and I really appreciate that.
It has, but I'm not sure if someone's personality should be Hello Kitty.
That's fair.
Like, that's one thing that'll get me. Like, okay, like I was saying before, we can relate to her because she's got an obsession.
Yeah.
That obsession is her personality, and there are people who do take their obsessions to be their personality, and that's not always a great thing to do.
No.
Like, I understand doing it. God, we all got to cope.
Yeah. But I think it makes sense from a character design standpoint when you're making so many characters.
Absolutely.
It's why I said the gacha thing, because, like, gachas are always, this person is angry and has an axe. Like, it is the most boilerplate basic stuff.
And Vocaloid is, if anything, a gacha.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, they're making so many characters, they need to find ways to define them in that simple way.
That's true. That's true. And make them stand out and be memorable.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
I think it's just, that's why I'm positive on it, but you're still mixed?
I'm still mixed.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't such a shill character.
But oh, totally, like, totally.
It makes sense that they did what they did, you know?
Oh, like Hello Kitty and Vocaloid mashup makes total
also,
sense.
Also, what are you going to do, turn down that Sanrio cash?
Jesus Christ, no.
No.
If Sanrio was like, hey, we'll put an ad on your podcast, we'd be like, oh.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll swallow Hello Kitty live on air, let's do it.
There's like, oh, Jesus. Well, we're never getting that sponsorship at least. But the other thing is like, you know, there are more evil companies.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
If Disney's coming to us, no. I'm going to get shot. It's going to Disney assassin's going to come for
you're
me.
You're going to get assassinated. The Mickey Mouse just laugh and then a sniper through your head.
Uh-huh. You must suffer me.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, there we go.
It's so bad.
There we go. All right, here is my song today from Slave VVR. I believe it's called Hot Pursuit, The Real Story of the Runaway Girl. So, you know how I said that this character just has, they have a lot of effort put into them? This voice fucking rules. It's one of the few Vocaloid voices I've heard that, like, you can trust to be a cappella, as that song does early on in it.
That's true,
yeah. It has it by itself, nothing underneath, it can hold its own. That's by the creator Slave VVR. Just look up their shit. They make so many fucking good songs, especially with Nekoharu. Sorry, Nekomura. I don't know why I keep saying Nekoharu. Sorry. And I think, you know how you talked about Teacher Boy?
Yes. What's his name? Kiyotaru.
Kiyotaru, yeah. You know how I talked about him having a clarity and preciseness to his voice?
Yes.
She has the same thing.
She has the same thing.
But I think she has more power.
Oh.
I think she holds her own better in the mix.
I'd have to re-listen to him again, but I can see what you mean. She does have a powerful voice.
I think I said Kiyotaru couldn't hold his own in the mix. I could be wrong. Let me just double check that real
quick. We've said that about a few Vocaloids.
Yeah. So what I wrote about Kiyotaru actually is that he's not big and extra, but like an understated nice quality. So what I think I found was that he could hold his own in the mix. He wasn't like dropped out, but that preciseness really aided him. And I think it's the same thing with Nekomura. Like, it's a nice voice that hits things well and sounds good.
No, 100%.
Fucking great voice. Let's hear your song.
Yes, my song is called Pink Diva, and it is from the YouTube channel. It is from the YouTube channel Nekomura Iroha.
Oh, there you go.
So here we go.
Hey, it's a good voice.
It's a good voice. Like, they just use it really well, and like,
it can get highs, it can get lows.
It's super fun. It's a good boppy voice.
It's versatile. It can do a lot of stuff. It sounds fantastic.
Like you said, it's got that precision.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of shocked with this level of goodness that it isn't. I haven't seen it before.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's an interesting one because it was received well at fans,
yeah,
but it hasn't gained a massive amount of popularity.
It just didn't seem to have that traction to keep going.
Yeah, which I wonder if it's because of how they marketed or if it was because it was AH Software as opposed to one of the others
that
or something
might be
like
it.
That.
Yeah.
But it is one of the best sounding Vocaloid
it's
voices.
Shocking.
That I've heard so far.
Yeah, same.
No, like, I only have good things to say about this voice. She sounds fucking great.
Yeah.
People are making fantastic songs with her. And
absolutely.
People need to make more songs with her.
I actually want to go and listen to more.
Yeah. Like, fully, Slave VVR did a whole bunch of them.
You know I'm checking that out.
And they're all kind of jazzy, kind of fun.
It's
a little good
I
bit of fun. Yeah. It's nice to have a very good Vocaloid after last week's.
Oh, absolutely.
Just nothing.
Just nothing there. This is just as we've come off a low into a beautiful high.
What an incredible high we hit.
Oh, I'm riding high.
Beautiful. Love it. Ooh, chef's kiss. Which I think means it's time to our rating point.
Absolutely.
First up. Yeah, Kaito.
Appearance-wise, I prefer Hello Kitty.
Yeah, same.
Personality-wise, she's got more.
She has more, and it's not pervert, so we got that going
yeah,
for us.
Yeah, no, okay. I do prefer Branchill over pervert.
Yeah.
Which is wild to say.
That's a hell of a sentence. And voice, she's better.
She's so much better.
So that means she beats Kaido.
She beats Kaido.
Big Al. Look.
I prefer her look.
Yes. Personality. She Oof. Has one.
She definitely...
she's not a war machine. Did y'all know Big Al's in Hunter x Hunter?
Fuck off. We're talking real stuff now. This is
okay.
A serious
this
podcast.
Like, she's got an established personality and a back... This is a very serious podcast.
Very serious.
And a backstory. provided by the company.
Yeah, that's true. She's and got more there. But is it good?
No, but it's more. Like, we actually have stuff to work with.
That's true, that's true.
And I like her voice.
I do like her voice. I prefer her voice to Big Al. So she'd win it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means Hiyamaki Uteru.
Oh, this is a hard one.
Look.
See, this is a combination of, like, my two favorite aesthetics, which is kawaii core and punk.
Yep.
Like, if I could just...
He's not that punk. He's more rock.
And rock. Whatever.
Oh, sorry.
Look at
sorry.
Me. I'm Jonathan. I know the difference between punk and rock because I play music. Like, we get it. You're a talented musician.
Fight me. Fight me. Look.
I don't know.
Okay. You need to contend with the fact that Hiyamaki Uteru has the most basic-ass bitch bootlicking-looking motherfucker.
That's true. He is very basic-looking. He does look like a nerd in one of his designs.
I don't think The Rock makes up for it.
You're right.
Yep. So it goes,
Neko's got more working
goes to Neko.
Goes to Hello Kitty.
Personality.
I do like the idea of a rock star raised by a priest.
Yep. And who's a big nerd that's shy, but when he's on stage, he's a beast, you
exactly,
know?
Exactly, exactly.
I think I'm giving it to Q Teru.
Yeah, same.
Because it's less of a shill.
I have to go with Q Teru as well.
Voice. They're both precise.
They're both really good.
They're both really nice to listen to.
Mm-hmm. I also like Neko.
It's Neko's voice.
Yeah,
Neko's voice
Neko's
gets
voice.
It. Which means...
Is she seriously?
Against Gumi.
Okay, I was about to say, is she our top rated vocal?
No, Gumi. Okay.
I'm just going to come out and say I prefer Gumi's look.
Yep.
Just because it's hard to make green and yellow work like that together.
And they nailed it?
And they nailed it.
Yep. Personality.
She does have more personality. She does have more personality. And if you took away the Hello Kitty part, they pretty much have the same personality.
Yep.
So she does get it there for me.
Voice. Does Hello Kitty win? Are you saying Hello Kitty wins?
She's got a preciseness that sometimes Gumi lacks, but she doesn't have the bangers like Gumi does, though.
Are you kidding me? Did you listen to that Slave VR song?
It ain't no Echo, though.
They've got two different vibes. One is jazzy. One is a fucking bassy dance song.
Okay, but this is an unbiased review.
Yeah, we're completely unbiased.
I've never been biased once in our life, and Gumi certainly isn't up at the top as she currently is because of my bias.
Definitely not.
God damn it.
This is tough. I'm just going to listen to a Gumi song that isn't Crush a P for a second.
Fuck you, that's valid. I'm sorry, I'm in turmoil here. I'm absolutely writhing. Hello Kitty has come into my house, eaten all my grapes, and now has stabbed me in my big toe. Don't trust Hello Kitty. She's got an innocent look, but she will take you down. She will destroy the woman you love.
Gumi wins in voice.
Yes!
For me.
Gumi remains top!
Oh, that was close.
That was a close one.
That was
one.
So fucking close, folks. Ooh. Ooh.
This is not a Vocaloid ranking and review podcast anymore. This is how long can we keep Gumi at the top before Harper goes feral.
That was fucking close. That was, oh my God. My heart's going.
I was having a crisis.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, that was... Whew. I need a moment.
Yeah. If you think we are wrong and Hello Kitty should be at the top.
Send us messages on Twitter and Tumblr.
Yeah, you can find us at...
Lloyd Rate on Twitter.
Lloyd Rate on Twitter. Rate-R-Lloyd on Tumblr.
Yep. Listen to a bunch of other That's Not Canon podcasts. I know we've got a plan for like a poetry one coming out soon, I'm pretty sure, which will be really exciting.
Pretty dope from our podfather themselves.
Yep.
And we do, That's Not Canon Productions as a company does have a Patreon you can contribute
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's
like
a good point.
$1 if you want to chuck it in.
Also, you can review us on your podcast app of choice.
Yep.
Recommend us to your friends. Follow me on Twitter at Pirate Killjoy.
And follow me on Twitter at Harps Monty.
And tune in next week where we are going to listen to Utatane Pico.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.